General Motors on Safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. Bringing you the African Bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on Safari.
4 young men once met in Kenya and decided to make their home there. Each of them had a very different background from the others. One was an actor who'd come out to East Africa on a year's contract to the Donovan Mall Theatre in Nairobi. Ian Marshall was a motor car salesman. Mike Grimmond had been stationed at Kahawa and stayed on to mend motor cars when his regiment moved out after Uhuru. And the final member of the quartet was Keith Hawthorne, a Scot, who was an assistant manager at the New Stanley Hotel. John Evans, the actor, had become friendly with a farmer by the name of Jack Watson during his year in Kenya's capital. Watson had 40,000 acres up at Elementaita near the lake, and when Evans's contract expired in Nairobi, he persuaded his farmer friend to rent him 10 acres of his property close by the northern shore of Elementaita. Over a period of half a year, he completely renovated an ancient cottage on the land and had half fenced it by the time he met Keith Hawthorne. Evans had forgotten his former dreams of fame in the West End of London and planned to make a living as a writer. The hotel manager said he'd come in with him, staking a half share in the property, and more extensive work was done. Then the two met Marshall and Grimmond, and by 1964, when the events in tonight's story took place, the small holding on Elementaita's northern corner was prospering. Evans, the actor, told me of what happened during a brief visit of mine to Nairobi only last year. I've called his story, "And Leopards Came Too." John Evans stayed on the property shared by the four of them permanently, writing what he believed to be a masterpiece. The others spent weekends there, and sometimes, in Hawthorne's case, 1 week a month. Swimming pools up country in Kenya are pretty rare, but there was one on the Elementaita spread. Waste of money, and Marshall had said, but Evans reckoned they'd only get bilharzia swimming in the lake, and so work had gone ahead. They'd built a 45-foot-long pool with the aid of African labour and half a dozen books sent up from South Africa. One evening in September, a Friday it was, Marshall, Grimmond and Hawthorne arrived by car from Nairobi. Evans had finished installing the filter plant, and 5 crates of lager beer had been carted up from the capital to help them celebrate the switching on of the pump and the starting of the waterfall from a dolphin's mouth, mounted high up on the wall of the filter house.
Hello, John.
Hi, John. Everything okay there?
Move the beer. Any tragedies to report?
Everything's fine. I reckon we can start it tonight. I just have to...
Hey, what's the matter with Buddha's here? Is she locked in or something?
Oh, she's in season.
She's always in season.
We're expecting invasion any day now from Jack's place. Now, you know what ugly curse he keeps? Can't risk anything.
Right, will you bring the beer out here and while we see John's marvellous creation?
John's creation? Who did the ruddy pump installation then, eh? You tell me that.
You need some rain for the mealies, John. How's the borehole working?
Right, let's be having it then. How long did it take to fill? It looks a bit cloudy.
I've been putting the chemicals in. Just needs the old filter.
You haven't tested it?
Mike reckoned you'd clap me if I touched the switch before you all got
here. Okay, let's have the switch on.
Hey, great job with the fencing. Did Jirogi help?
Jirogi did it all, mate. Jack Watson played up about me keeping him down here for so long. He slept here while we all fixed it up. Still needs painting. I'll switch on.
Yeah, come on. 2-3 weeks in all to fill the pool.
Right, we'll
have Watson's mechanic take a look at that borehole.
All right, chaps.
Yeah.
This is it.
Right.
Okay, 4 bottles ready.
Don't forget, you've got to open the borehole tap first, Keith, and then the water from the bottom of the pool tap, and then that third tap to start the circulation.
Now stop trying to teach Grandpa to suck eggs. Start her up.
Yeah, but leave about 20 seconds before turning on the last tap to start the water coming through, so the pressure can be built up.
Will you switch on? Yeah. It'll be dark before you can get into that water if you don't jump to it. Hands off the beer. Nothing's happening yet. Bore hole on.
A second tap now.
Second on.
Hold it a while. It's going to take a minute to start sucking.
And the sigh been back again. I heard Watson was having a hard time with rustling.
Oh, dear. You make the place sound like Tombstone City.
I forgot to tell you. The little pig's dead.
Oh, no.
Bang goes another few quid. I'll tell none the last tap now.
Yeah, but as soon as you match Boadicea after her present season with that big black brute of Jack's, we'll be able to flog the pubs and recoup.
Yes.
Yeah, switch her on.
What is coming up? Hear it?
No.
Well, I can feel it through the pipe. Oh, no Bill Hart's here in this pool.
It's a bit of a bore having to get the chemical sent up from Johannesburg.
I met a bloke in Nairobi. He says he'll stock chlorine and acid if we make it worth his while.
Oh, anything happening yet?
Give it time. Brilliant feat of engineering.
I'll drink to that. To the first real McCoy swimming pool in Almentica.
You can just keep both the sea and her ruddy fleas out. No filter will cope with that.
Blimey, quick as I ever saw him get his clothes off. What's it like?
The first real McCoy swimming pool in Almentica. And the party went on for a long, long time. Four pretty, sozzled men went to bed that night in the cottage that once had been three cowsheds and a native labourer's hut. Perhaps it was the half crate of beer that Keith Hawthorne had drunk, which prevented him from hearing whatever it was he only half heard properly, sometime around 3:30 the next morning. Something woke him up.
Mike. Ooh. Nothing on earth would wake him. Oh, well. Oh. Every time I say never another bottle as long as I live, and then, oh, comes dinner time, and bang goes another resolution. Oh. I can't hear the filter. I wonder if the thing's conked out. Something.
Keith listened a while and then padded softly through the long grass to the kitchen door. Back in the room he shared with Mike Grimmond, that hearty was dead to the world. At the kitchen door, Keith paused and then whistled the dog Boadicea. No answering whine, no bark.
Where have they put her? She's supposed to be locked in it. Yeah. The night we get burgled, Boadicea's locked up. There's nothing I heard.
He's got good ears, has Keith Hawthorne. Good ears.
I'll have a wee look round the back.
Hawthorne walks through the mealies towards the fence which surrounds the house, past the servants' quarters where no servant lives, because they believe in doing all the work themselves. The four landowners. It's a dark night. A million stars, but no moon.
Dark. I watched the thing, though. Oh. It's a good job of no wife. I smell of lager. Too much lager. She wouldn't like it. Yeah, my head's clearing out. The filter's all right anyway. Nothing wrong, that's certain. Oh, I'll carry on, though. It's a good night for a wee walk.
He can just make out the railings that John Evans has erected around the new swimming pool with the help of Jirogi. Nothing wrong with the pool? Or is there?
Hey, Bo! Bo, you silly dog! What are you doing in there? Did you jump the fence? You meeting a boyfriend? You'll drown yourself, that's what you'll do.
Yes. There's Boa de Sia. Over there, close by the pump and engine. You can just see her, long and low, lying down.
You're lying down, are you? Bo? Come on, Bo.
Moment, the moon sailed out from the cloud, grandly, as if proud of herself.
It's a leopard. A leopard!
Having revealed to the Scot his assailant, the moon promptly vanished again. And Mike Grimmond? Some men who'd had too much to drink sleep well, some badly. Grimmond woke up about the time Keith went into the pool.
What's the time? Give me a luminous watch on day, luminous. Dynamo's still working. Should have switched that off. 4:05. Wasted time switching off now. Need the electricity for breakfast. Oh, it's John's job anyway. Talking of breakfast, a lump of something or other wouldn't go amiss. I wonder. Now, where the devil's that half-witted Scotsman?
Enter Boa de Sia, watchdog par excellence, like a snake on her belly, ears flat back, tail tucked deep under.
Hey, what are you doing in there, eh? What's up, old girl?
Mike Grimmond goes to the kitchen now. The Scot's not there. He's swimming. But how's anybody to know? The pool's too far away from the house for Keith's cries to be heard. And he is crying, in between freezing. Cold swimming at night in element tighter. There's a strange stillness about the place. Crickets have stopped calling. Mike Grimmond's puzzled. He takes the .22 sporting rifle from out of the locked cupboard and ventures outside. Boa de Sia doesn't follow. She's back in the smallest room of the house, pulling the door to with a paw and shivering badly.
Poor old bitch. Something scared her, all right. Feels good out here. Somebody around? We've got nothing to pinch.
Grimmond walks swiftly now towards the pool. In the pool, Keith Hawthorne treads water, swims a little, shivers a lot. Hangs onto the handrail for a moment, and then backs back to the centre of the oval as...
I'll drown. I'll freeze. I'll be eaten.
Help! Someone! Help! Help! Someone, help!
Huh? Grimmond runs fast forward. He grips the rifle tight. As he nears the pool fence, the moon reappears once more.
Who's that?
Keith! What for the love of... What are you doing swimming?
Leopard, get out of the way!
And at that moment, the large male leopard turns his attention from the man in the water and clears the pool fence.
Ah!
The cat lands, but does not complete his spring. He draws back momentarily. The delay gives Grimmon his chance. Somehow the rifle is mysteriously no longer in his hands. He turns, and a world record for the ascent of an Elementitus thorn tree is established. Recovering from the shock of the rifle, the leopard springs, and the paw misses the climber by inches.
Did you fall in?
It's over here. It wouldn't let me out.
No, it's over here. Get out, man. You'll be an icicle.
The beast. I can't get to the side. I'm just touching bottom. How do you mean there? It's over here. Mike, there's two leopards.
There's two of them.
And then the whole world, it seems, is plunged into silence. As the moon continues her game of hide-and-seek.
What's happened?
They've cut the dynamo in the house. They must have heard us. Keith, I have got the gun. Is it trying to get into the water? Can it reach you?
If it can reach me, do you think I'd be bobbing around like this?
What's happening?
Hello?
Keith, Mike!
Keep away!
Leopards! Stay where you are, there's leopards!
Four pajamaed men, one up a tree, one in a pool, the other two making towards the pool.
Is that you, Keith?
Clear out of it! Get up a tree! Leopards!
The word leopard works like a charm, and although the climbing record is already broken and will stand perhaps forever, the other two find refuge too, one in another thorn tree, and the second in a tree that no one knows the name of.
Stuck!
I can't open up the gun. I'm freezing to death. Are they still there?
What's happening?
Listen! I came out here because I heard something. Keith was in the pool.
What's he doing in the pool?
I'm taking a wee drop of tea. What do you think I'm doing?
Where are the letters? Is this a joke, Keith?
Joke? Are you mad? Do you think I'm doing this?
Look, shut up! Listen! Can anybody hear anything?
What?
Shut up! Listen! Okay, can you hear anything? Are they gone?
What are they doing here anyway? You shot their leopards,
not Watson's dog.
Do you think we're stupid or something? I nearly got my lot. Did you hear the shot?
We heard the shot. You left the dynamo on, Mike.
I left the blasted dynamo on. Who the heck?
No one cares about the dynamo.
Can you get out now, Keith? Climb up the filter house wall. You'll be okay there. The bricks are rough. You can get a hold of it pretty easy. Is the thing still around you?
This is bloody stupid. Sitting round in trees. Mike, are you free?
Shut up! Keith, can you hear me?
Mike?
Quiet! Keith! No, he's gone under. Keith, hang on, I'm coming down.
I'm still here. I've got no toes left, no hands.
Well, why didn't you answer me then?
Where's the rifle? I can't see anything. They've gone.
Get down then and see if it's okay. Well, are you down, Ian?
You must want your head seen, sir.
You sure you're not pulling our legs, Mike? Keith!
I'll pull your leg right out of its socket if you're very sure.
Well, we can't around here all night. It's gone.
Well, please.
You are cold.
Now listen, will you? See if you can hear anything at all. But can you? Then they've cleared off, Keith. Get out.
Right, I'm climbing down.
Okay. See anything, Keith? Can you?
Keith Hawthorne attempts to climb out. It's quite a job. He can't feel his feet. His hands won't grip the rail. He gives up.
Keith!
He half swims, half wades, and stumbles down to the shallow end of the pool and begins to mount the steps. He reaches the third and collapses. He begins again and falls in a heap on the top step. By this time, Ian Marshall has reached the ground, having found descending from a thorn tree far more difficult than climbing up it. Grimmon, too, is down. Evans is still up his tree. He can't get down.
Keith! Keith! I can't see you. Are you there?
I...
Hey, I'm here.
Oh.
They've gone.
Here, give us your hand, chum.
We found the gun, Ian. I've got it here. They've gone.
How's Keith? John? Easy, chum. Give us a hand, Ian. He's all in.
Right, John! Just a minute.
Oh, it's okay now. Here, let me give you a hand. Oh,
my feet. I never went to see a swimming pool again.
Hang on a minute, John. I'm just going to stop.
Well, we're taking Keith back, John. Now, watch out, Ian. The beggars might come back. Easy, chum. Right, you got him?
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't think they'll pitch up again.
No.
Why do they want to hang around for as long as they did? I don't know. It's not very natural.
Give us a hand, John.
They got Keith Hawthorne back to the house. It was getting light by this time. The dynamo was started again. Kettles were placed on the gas stove, hot soup, lashings of hot tea. Hawthorne was persuaded to place his feet in near boiling water.
Oh! What's up? Oh, it's pretty light now. What do you think those blasted cats came for anyway?
Verdicere, I should think. Again, Keith.
Freeze my feet off and I see I want to boil the things. They've gone red.
Get stuck into this hot tea and bread.
Some bread and soup here, too. You get your laughing tackle around.
What
a bloody awful night.
What's that?
That's nothing. It's just one of Watson's cocks, that's all. Telling us it's time to get up. How you doing, Keith?
Gentlemen, I believe I can truly announce I once more feel my toes.
Bless you.
Oh, yes, you can clear off, Hound. It's all your fault anyway. Why do leopards like dogs so much?
Oh, why hang around the pool anyway when Bo was down here?
Oh, they'd probably been there already.
Maybe they were disturbed when I got up.
Monty?
Hey?
Hmm?
Where the blazes is John?
John?
He's still up the ruddy tree.
Evans was still up the tree. He climbed it, but it took a rope and ladder to get him down. In fact, he was the only real casualty of the night. One of the long, cruel thorns had gone deep into his wrist, and because he neglected the wound, it turned septic. Keith Hawthorne caught a cold, and after declaring that the hotel could fall down for all he cared, went to bed for a week. Injections soon put Evans right. The other two suffered no ill effects at all, although during the months that followed, Mike Grimmon's narrow shave became narrower and narrower. When John told me of that night which followed the swimming pool celebration, he swore that Mike's escape was achieved, according to him, with the loss of his pajama jacket, ripped off his back as the cat struck out at him. Why did the leopards hang around for so long, despite the noise and confusion? I don't know. They must have come back for the dog Boa de Seer in the beginning, certainly. But it's unusual, to say the least, to hear of the cats staying so close to humans for the several hours they did stay. The Scotsman, for long a great swimmer, has never been in water deeper than his bath since. Had enough to last him for the rest of his life, he says. Now, on the long, hot days, he stands under a shower they've erected in the bathroom. The place was looking very beautiful when I went up there last. Pool working marvellously, but whilst the other three dive and swim under the cascade of water from the stone dolphin's head, Keith Hawthorne sits in the shade and sips iced beer. Silly, really. But some people are funny about some things.
Join us again next week for another story of the African bushveld. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.